I welcome into the program to not discuss this case specifically, but the idea of doing such a search at a landfill is Dr. Stephanie Calce, Senior Lab Instructor, University of Victoria Anthropology. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Calce. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. And I told our listeners as we started the show today that I understand you can't speak to the specifics of this integral case, but I did want to get into, and I think our listeners want to know, some of the generalities of the difficulty of doing such a job like this. Can you begin there with a landfill and some of the issues involved?
Yeah, for sure. I think in any investigation of this size and scope, there are a number of pieces of information that need to be considered. So, you know, that's going to include very detailed critical thinking about the quality, the reliability, the value of the information that's come in. And so that's going to include thinking, of course, largely about the search strategy, thinking about the best way to document and recover evidence without damaging or losing it, thinking about what could be considered forensically significant to the case, so things like human remains in this case, and then also interpreting evidence at the scene, so does it fit with the circumstances of the incident itself. So these are all things that go in largely to considering whether the search is feasible, and this is probably what the police are thinking in the case of a landfill search. And that said, landfills are perhaps the most complex deposits out there in an outdoor scene environment. And each outdoor scene is different, and of course every landfill is different as well. They operate differently depending on their purpose. So the scope of the area is a big thing. Planning the search very effectively in terms of assessing hazards is going to be a major component. Keeping the individuals safe who are conducting the search is really important, especially in a landfill scenario, because you've got a lot of construction debris. In fact, most people don't know, but the largest percentage of things that are discarded in a landfill happen to be construction debris. So there's quite a lot to consider there in terms of the physical and biochemical hazards that people will face, as well as the complexity of the deposits. Sometimes they're very deep as well. As you mentioned already in your introduction, things get moved around. So certainly where to look, where to start, and by looking through those records that the waste management company would keep, including, you know, which trucks are coming in, where it's going, on what day, what's being moved around in the interim, is a really important part, especially when you think about the size of the landfill in this case, you know, over 4 acres at Prairie Green. So it's already going to be a very time-consuming effort. Any sort of outdoor search really is. But certainly we want to think about how to proceed as well. What you're likely to find is another good thing to consider. So things like, and that's going to depend largely, again, on the movement of material through the landfill and its use. In this case, and in many cases, we see a large deposit of animal remains, discarded food, essentially, right, that people get rid of. So being able to tell the difference between what is human and what is animal is going to be one level of expertise they're going to need for sure. Another sort of complication would be whether the material has been compacted or not. So sometimes this material is pushed down, and if there is any sort of organic material there, could be, you know, compacted and pulverized, essentially. So that's also something to consider, the movement of material and how that would impact an effective search. The other thing to consider would probably be what kind of machinery to use. One of the really unique things about landfill deposit is it's sort of forming a natural temporal strata. So we've got things that are, you know, deposited earlier are going to be on the bottom and later are going to be on the top. So with careful, you know, sort of removal of those layers, you can also start to put together a context of time and when things have been deposited. Again, that's complicated if things have been moved around quite a bit.
So with all those factors and with your experience, and I understand each case is individual in the parameters around it, is it unheard of that what the Winnipeg Police Service are saying that it's not capable by their department? And is there other factors that, you know, considering everything you just said, there would be, well, we could do this. And individually, like what I'm trying to say is each one's individual, and there are times where it's feasible to do logistically, and there's times where it's just not.
Well, I think, you know, sort of the recent information coming out that they're giving pause to really consider what those efforts are going to be is largely important. One of the things they can certainly do and is done regularly is scent dog analysis. So sending through cadaver dogs might be a way to mitigate hazardous, you know, environment of people. And that, of course, would be sort of one of the first approaches. When we have a large area and complex deposits, drone survey and analysis would be also another good place to start, because you can get a nice aerial view and sort of start to think about the topography of the landscape and you know, those sort of bigger deposits and what would be most complicated places to start. So that's those are two other good examples.
How dangerous would a job like this in general be?
I mean, every single outdoor scene presents its own challenges. And so in this case, when you have a large amount of construction debris in this case, you do also have a large amount of sort of decomposing chemical materials. So certainly there's going to be some, you know, some airborne toxic airborne or airborne decomposition probably happening, but also just the uncertainty of the layering itself. Like, it, you know, if there is just sort of posing a difficulty to searching it specifically on foot, you might have to use heavy machinery to take some of it out. And then how can you break up that material with other machinery to then search it effectively? So it's not just about sort of going in and grabbing it, but then how can we look at it effectively to find what we hope to find?
And I guess that's maybe the question I wouldn't understand is just that not only if you did find something, the likelihood would be weighed on what it is, how it is, and is it, you know, usable? Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. It's conditioning. So, you know, things start to decompose right away as soon as they're out outside. And depending on the time, the timeline of deposit, so when we're sinking these, this body might have been deposited there to the time of the search and discovery. You have to kind of think about what we're likely to find in that case. But also, again, how to identify potential remains from animal remains. That's going to be a very large component of the analysis. And then finally, to kind of think about how to access things that have been compacted and pulverized. You know, it may not be identifiable at some point.
And understanding it wouldn't be an anthropologist's decision on whether to or not, you would just present these as cases. It still must be difficult to weigh one way or the other on whether this was, you know, good to do or not. Like, this is obviously we're talking about human beings, and to have studied such a case like this or anyone in this fashion and having to decide whether it would be basically a good idea or not, even knowing that it is a good idea to remove the remains and get them to their families, there's all these factors that have to weigh in, and that would make it, even for an anthropologist, I would understand, very difficult.
I think it is, yeah, and I think that's why, you know, it's important to give pause and really consider what the effective scope of that search is likely to yield, and you know, again, what dangers this presents to the people conducting that search, and how can we meet the expectations as well of the families and of the communities who are involved? Because certainly that's paramount concern, and I think all of the decisions made by any anthropologist to participate in, and likely of any kind of investigative service, is to help the families and communities that are affected by these things. So that's a large portion, of course, what goes into deciding. But I imagine this is a very difficult decision for anyone to make. But again, yeah, we sort of have to think about what a reasonable way forward would be. And in this case, you know, to explore sort of things like scent dogs, cadaver dogs, perhaps drone footage, that just might be a good starting point.
I really appreciate your time and your insight on this, and thank you for sharing it with our listeners.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Stephanie Calche, Senior Lab Instructor, Adjunct Assistant Professor, University of Victoria, Anthropology.